So we began this week, the Chavrusim, we begin tonight, explore a sugya that I think as you already begin to see, will take us more than a week, take us much from two, maybe three. And that is a sugya that's literally at the center of these sugyas, the bottom of Lamed Ches, and Al at the top of Lamed Ches and Beis. And Halacha Lamaisa, very, very central as well. And that is the question of Jewish participation. You really touched on the question of which foods are Bishlakim susceptible. We spoke a bit about who qualifies as a Nachri. And we even touched on, but we'll get to more later on, question of which processes count as Bishlakim. So, who's an Akam and what's Bishol and what sort of foods are you being Mevashol. But this is a sugya of Jewish participation. How you put together Bishol and Akam. How much do I have to do in order to eliminate the problem of Bishol Akam, which is incredibly lamasa, both l'chadchila, sometimes b'dievet, either in trying to set up a situation properly, or, how do you avert the potential Bishalak and catastrophe in process. You walk in, and the eggs are ready on the fire, and what do you do? And not only is it relevant to Halacha Lamaisa, and geographically, the Middle East, so many layers. Fascinating, Lam, this is going to touch on new issues, going to touch on old issues, and also this sugya, probably more than any other in Bishalak, is a lot that's already very mysterious in the Gemaras. I think we're going to see that the sort of teasing apart the mysteries in the Gemaras will be very important in terms of getting to the Shulchan Aruch and getting to Halacha Lamaisa. And it's going to take us more than a week, so let's at least begin to lay out now. Let's begin to explore the Gemaras and begin to explore some Halacha Lamaisa, and hopefully we'll already come to some insights and come to more questions that will hopefully drive our learning over the course of the coming week. The Gemara, this chunk stretches from Amud Aleph to Amud Beis, and we're going to see that's actually a pretty good dividing line in terms of this conversation. So since the Gemara begins in the fourth wide line, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, with memories of two of the earliest Amoraim, two of the first generation Amoraim, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Let's take a look. The Gemara says a memory of Shmuel, a Rabbi Yehuda of Shmuel. Niach Yisrael basra gavi gachal meboa akum v'hafach. So the Jew puts a slab of meat on the coals, and then a Nachri comes by, and he flips the burger. He flips the steak. Mutar. I said, that's fine. The Jew starts, the non-Jew continues. As an aside, we're going to see that the Amud Aleph piece of the sugya is focused around Jew first, the non-Jew second. We're going to see the Amud Beis part of the sugya is the reverse, where it's a non-Jew first and the Jew second. So the Gemara says, the Jew first, non-Jew second. Amud Aleph. The Yisrael puts the meat on the grill, on the coals. Nachri comes by and flips it. So that is mutter, flips bow, flips it. I'll be pashtun, that means flips the meat. So that's mutter. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Either that's trivial or it's not true. Either it's so pashtun that it doesn't even need to be said, or else nazir not pashtun, it's actually not even true at all. That's the Gemara's forked question here. Hey, Chidam, this is Manavshah. The Jew put the meat on initially. So was he already doing a bishul? Was he not doing a bishul? The Jew put on the meat in a way that without the non-Jew's subsequent hipuch, it still would have cooked. It's a pshita. Of course it's matar. That's bishul Yisrael. I put the meat on the coals. and that was fine as is. What does it matter what he did afterwards? I did the bishul, fine. And so it's pashat. You don't need to. Shmuel doesn't need to give me no chiddush. Shmuel doesn't need to tell me this. And LMI, the non-Jew's role, if the non-Jew's role was critical, so it must be the non-Jew's role was critical. If he wouldn't have flipped, it wouldn't have come. So then, on my mutter, kishalachim, or says manav shach, either the Nachri second step was critical or not. If the Nachri second step was critical, it wouldn't have cooked without him, so that's bishul Nachri. So that's taka aser. So why are you telling his mutter? And if the Nachri's participation was unimportant, it was not critical, it would have cooked without his second step. What the Jew did was sufficient. If the Jew did was sufficient, so of course it's mutter. What the Jew did was insufficient, so it's not the shitaka b'yasser. So where's this middle point where it's mutter, but that's a chiddush? That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. Either what the Jew did already was sufficient, what the Nachri did was irrelevant, or what the Jew did was insufficient, then it's the Nachri's bishul. The Gemara says, must be that there is a middle stage. What's the middle stage? Lo, tzricha. You know when it's true but mechudashtik that the non-Jew's hipuch doesn't make it aser. When is it true but mechudashtik that this case is mutter? The in-between case. What the non-Jew did wasn't critical, but it was still substantial. What's the case? Lo tzricha di lo hafach have a bashel betartishi. What the Jew did was sufficient, but the non-Jew still accelerated. If the non-Jew would have left alone, it would have cooked in 2 hours, but because the non-Jew flipped it, now it's going to cook in 1 hour. So that's what's the havmin and what's the aser. I could have thought, it's mechudashtik, that's mutter. I could have thought it's aser. Come Shmuel to say it's mutter. So now the Gemara explains, so what's havmin and what's kana? So Mao detain, but why would I think it's also? Why would I think it's Bishalakum? Mao detain Makaruvi Bishula Milsi. What the non-Jew did is Kiruv HaBishul. He brought the Bishul closer. The Jew already did an active Bishul. The Jew put on the fire in a way they would have cooked in 2 hours. So the Jew did a Bishul. But the non-Jew did a Kiruv Bishul. The non-Jew brought the Bishul closer. He accelerated the process. The Gemara says, I would have thought it's us there because Kiruve Bishul is a thing, literally. Contemporary slang is the same slang that Chazal had. I would have thought Kiruve, then that is, you find all the Shas. Asmana Milsa, this Milsa, that Milsa, it's a thing. Our kids are speaking the language of the Amaron. Now the thing, I would have thought that Kiruve Bishul is a thing, the Kiruve Bishula, Milsi. And therefore, it's aser, because the guy did, it's true, the Jew did the Bishul, but then the guy did the Kiruv Bishul, so that makes it, that creates a status of Bishul Akum. Ka mashma lan. That's why Shmuel told me, no. As an aside, the general aspect of in learning is whenever you see a kamashma lan with a period afterwards, it's suggestive. Sometimes the Gemara will say, come on, I would have thought that din should be X because of ABC. Kamash Malan. No, DEF. Sometimes the Gemara will tell you what changed from the Havmiyat Maskana. But sometimes it's just Kamash Malan period, like here. And that always leaves you wondering, so I know what the din is, but why? You explain to me, I would have thought it's Aser, and here's why. Kamash Malan, it's Mutter. Why? Was the Havmina was built on a series of different, a set of several premises. One of those premises changed. Which one changed? That's already suggested. In other words, let's say the Gemara was clear that one of the premises of the Havmina, I would have thought that this case is also why? Because Kiruv Bishul Milsa. So you have to. So one possibility is no, Kamashman Kiruv Bishul is not Milsa. That's irrelevant. That's not called Bishul. There's another possibility, which is maybe Kir Vishay is Milsa, but for some reason it still doesn't make it also. Right, so right away, he's beginning to explore the Gemara. That's and that's the, and again this psak that the case where the Nachri was makar of the Bishul still remains mutter. That was the Gemara understands that was Shmuel's Chiddush. And that's what Shmuel was talking about. The opening memory here, the Gemara just said, is talking about a case where the Nachri did Kiruv Bishul and remains Mutar. Why is a good question. And now the Gemara is going to say, one second. So well, let's put that aside. Why is a good question? We'll have to return to that. Maybe not tonight. We'll keep that in mind as we continue to explore this. Now the Gemara says, as I said before, we're opening the discussion of the situations of the Jew first, Nachri second, are built around the memory of Shmuel, a first generation Amora, and Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel was a Talmud Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who together with Rav, Rav got smicha, Shmuel never got smicha, but after they left the yeshiva, they went on shlichut to Babel. Rabbi Yochanan was a younger Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi who remained in Eretz Yisrael. So the Amoroi Babel began with Rav and Shmuel, and the Amoroi Eretz Yisrael began with Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, on the one hand, Shmuel told me that with the Jew first, the Nachri second, is Mutter, even though the Nachri did Kiruv Bishul. Rabbi Yochanan said, the Koshul Kamachal Ben Drusai, ain't bo mishum bishul yakum. If it already got to Machal Ben Drusai, so then there's no longer any concern of Bishul Akum. What does that mean? What's the case? So clearly we talk about a case where, well, if you got far enough, once I make it to the Machal Ben Drusai line, so then Mutter. Ha eno kamachal ben Drusai. If we didn't make it so far, yesh berushim bishalach. What does this mean? It's number one, just to back up, bishalach machal ben Drusai. Machal ben Drusai is a definition that comes up several places in Shas as a definition of minimal bishal. Machal ben Drusai machlokas Rashi and the Rambam whether machal ben Drusai means half cooked or a third cooked. But it means partially cooked. Barely enough, not fully done, but rare, maybe more extra rare, but enough that it barely is defined as bishul. Rashi here gives his background. Malchut Ben Drusai was a bandit who was always on the run, always trying to stay one step ahead of the authorities. So he never had time to actually cook his food fully. He would just get it barely cooked and wolf it down, and then he was on the run once again. Okay, Schechter said that the Rav once given shear kept calling him Reb Drusai. But he's not on the slip of the tongue. He was not a Talmud Chacham. List him, Hayyar, actually said. The list must have had the biggest chuyos. How many Rishayim appear, you know, so many times in Shas, looking at the language of Poskim, Ben Jerusalem is mentioned, though, thousands of times.
Is a person, or is it just sort of
referred to? Is it like a term? Is that like John Hancock? John Hancock was a person, but he's John Hancock. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think he was like, I don't know, Johnny Appleseed, fictional character. I'm not sure. Akapanim, whoever Ben Drusai was in reality or in fiction, but Machal Ben Drusai is a real concept. Again, a machlokas Rashi Rambam whether it refers to Chatzi Bishulo or Shlish Bishulo, but if you take raw food and cook it past the point past the point of Machal Ben Drusai, so that's considered to be an act of Bishulot in Hilchos Shabbos. So if I take a piece of meat and I throw Rachman Tzlan, throw it on the coals on Shabbos, if you take it off after it's already reached Machal Ben Drusai, that Jew has already, Rachman Tzlan, violated Chilul Shabbos. Even though it didn't get to Mubushul Chasarko, once it got past Machal Ben Drusai, that it really qualifies as an act of Bishul. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Machal Ben Drusai is relevant not only to Bishul B'Shabbos, it's relevant to Bishul Hakam as well. Once you got it to... He's not talking about the guy cooking at the Machal Ben Drusai, because he says, Adrabah. Yochanan says, once you got to Machal Ben Drusai, you're safe. So what's he talking about? Obviously, he's not talking about the guy put on the fire. Unless he's talking about the Jew put on the fire. Jew put on the fire, so it sounds like, as long as you got to Machal Ben Drusai, you're safe. But it sounds like, if the Nachri already got involved before Machal Ben Drusai, so then it's a problem. Right? So the Gemara says, that's stira between Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel says, if the Jew puts it on the fire, heter gomer. Doesn't matter, even if the non-Jew, as long as the Jew put it on the fire in a way that it would ultimately cook, he did a legitimate ma'aseh bishul, even though the Nachri got involved in a substantial way, kir bishul, it doesn't matter. And Shmuel didn't say he got involved before Machu Bishul, after Machu Bishul, no. As long as the Jew put it in a place where it would at least eventually cook, heter gomer. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it depends. Depends how early the Nachri gets involved. So the chastira. The steer between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Again, if a Jew, again, La Mechesam Alf is a discussion of the Yisrael first, Nachri second. So Shmuel says if Yisrael does the Bishul, it doesn't matter what the Nachri does later, always much. As long as, once again, as long as what the Yisrael did would cook it. Independently. As long as the Yisrael could on his own, with his own mice to cook it, whatever the Nachri does after is irrelevant. Rabbi Yochanan said no, sometimes the Nachri's involvement subsequently can make a treif. The Gemara says there's a chilak. The Torah had two different cases. Hasam, over there, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, the second memra, the Osri Basilta, the Shakle Akum, the Osri Betanura. The Jew had put it in a silta. Rashi says a silta is a basket. Some Rishonim say silta is a. Some sort of cutting board or a countertop, whatever it is. The Jew had put it on the fire, but then he took it off the fire. And he put it on the counter. He put it in the basket. Put it in the fridge. It wasn't done yet. And then the Nachri comes and puts it back in the fire. Shakli Akum Vosu Bitanu, he puts it back in the Tanu. Oh, in other words, let's think about this. As the Gemara is saying, it's not a machlokas. Shmuel and Yochanan talk about two different cases. Shmuel saw a case where it stayed, the Nachri put on the fire, and it stayed on the fire. And the Yisrael put on the fire, and it stayed on the fire, the Nachri just got involved in it while it continued to stay on the fire. But the Shmuel's case is that there was one long session on the fire, one long uninterrupted session on the fire. While Rabbi Yochanan's case is there are two sessions. The Jew put it on the fire, came up, and then the Nachri put it back on the fire. Put it back in fire, so then it depends, is that still mutter or not? Depends. If the Yisrael got it to Macho Ben Drusai and then it came off the fire, then it's mutter. But if the Yisrael never got to Macho Ben Drusai, Yisrael only got to 25% cooked, and then it came off the fire, then the Nachri puts it back on, that's going to be awesome. Why? Why? If the Yisrael put it on the fire and it got to Machu Ben Drusai and then it came off the fire, now it's mutter forever, no matter what the Nachri does afterwards. Why? Because if the Yisrael got to Machu Ben Drusai, what did the Yisrael do? Bishul. That's my Bishul Tarkula. That's right. Bishul Yisrael. Whatever the Nachri does later, no. If, however, the Yisrael put on the fire initially, but it came off before Machu Ben Drusai, then what did the Yisrael do? Nothing. He tickled it. But if he did, that wasn't the Bishul. Who did the Bishul? The Nachri. So that's Bishul Akum. So if the Yisrael seared the outside, Yisrael put it on the fire and it started to get somewhere, but it didn't get to Machu Ben Drusai. So the Maisa Bishul is the one that gets it over the Machu Ben Drusai line. In other words, Shmuel's Torah case was one Ma'isa Bishul. One Ma'isa. Rabbi Yochanan's Torah case where there are two Ma'isa. So in Rabbi Yochanan's case, I have to figure out who did the Bishul. The Jew with session number one, or the non-Jew with session number two. That's what it sounds like, right? And so it depends. Did the Jew get it to Machu Ben Drusai or no? Came off the fire, and then the Nachri put it back on, and that got it to Machu Ben Drusai. So either it's Bishul Yisrael or it's Bishul Akum. Whereas in the first case, in Shmuel's case, so it was one big Maisa that the Jew and non-Jew both participated. Right. So then we say, one big Maisa, they both participated. What's that? Mutter Aser? That's Mutter. Now it's Bishul Yisrael, that's what's happening. If it's a Bishul Yisrael v'Akum together, that's going to be Mutter. That's what's happening. But if it's if there's two separate sessions.
Even if the flip occurred before his
Gemara. Correct. Right, that was the Gemara's point. That Shmuel didn't care when did the Nachri come by and Mahapach it? And even again, even though Nachri's Hipuch, we're assuming, was a Kiruv Bishul. So even if the Nachri did a substantial Kiruv Bishul 5 minutes in, as long as what the Yisrael did could have alone done the cooking, had to go. But that's called Bishul Yisrael, or Bishul Yisrael v'Nachri. But if they're two separate sessions, so then we have to figure out they weren't working together. Yisrael did Maisa 1, and then separately, the Nachri did Maisa 2. Which one is the Bishul? Okay, so that seems to be how this works out. And then the Gemara even has a brisa to back this up, and that can sort of completes the first half of the sugya. Tainami, hachi. Three lines from the bottom, lamchesam alf. We even have a brisa that supports this. We'll see. Supports who? Supports what? Meniach Yisrael basar al gabe gechalim. A Jew could put a piece of meat on the coals. Then the Jew goes off to shul or to Beis Medrash, while the non-Jew is flipping the steak or flipping the burgers. No concern. Sean pointed out you also have to negotiate the nemanos issues. Okay, basar shalam and ayin. But assuming you've negotiated nemanos issues, you know that this is the same meat, and there was no introduction of non-kosher ingredients or equipment. In terms of Bishul Akum, not a problem. And then the Bryce has a second example. Shofesas Isha Kedera Gabe Kira. A woman, a Jewish woman, could put a pot. A Jewish woman could put a pot on the stovetop. Uvas Ak, Ovedas Kochavim, a non Jewish woman could come by, Megisa, and she'll be stirring. She's stirring while the Jewish woman is busy either at the bathhouse or at shul. Also not a concern. Just number one, just in terms of the cases in the Bible, it's fascinating that the assumption is that the men are grilling. As if it's meat on the grill, so that's what the men are handling. If it's upon the stove, typically that's what the woman is handling. That's one intriguing general observation. Another fascinating observation is that it was a common scenario for women to go to shul. We're not talking about Shabbos, obviously. So a shofes is kedera. It's hard to imagine we're only talking about Yom Tov. That's the only case that might sounds like it was not widespread, but it was not uncommon. It's kufas atanam for women, at least some women, to go to shul. Interesting. That's common enough that we're giving as the example.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What if Rishon changes the Girsa?
My brother, what would you say? I would love to say, you got to take a look.
Maybe it was the Rush?
Was it?
Yeah, when someone says from the Shuk, yeah.
Oh, the Rebbe Yechanal says that. Asher teitze min hamerchot or asher tava min hashok. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, it'd be interesting to explore. One of the Talmidim Yeshiva introduced me to, there's a website, hachigarsina.com, which apparently can give you, apparently the UI is fantastic. I haven't seen it yet. Said it presents, I think, seven relatively ancient printings of the Gemara, but all lined up. Like you could look at any line of Gemara and they'll present all the Munich and this and that. It'll be interesting to see what the old Gersosa. And then aside from the cultural historical interest, in terms of the content, so the Taina Mehachi is saying that what? That Lemaisa, if the Jew begins the act, Jewish man, Jewish woman, puts it on the fire, whatever type of fire we're talking about, the non-Jews, Hipuch, and Hagasa doesn't make trafe. So that's supporting whom? That's the Bryce is supporting Shmuel. Okay. Now, and let's open Shulchan Aruch. As I mentioned before, these five Se'ifim, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yod, the Sugya of Jewish participation, there's a lot of complexity in the way the Gemara unpacks and the way it relates to Shulchan Aruch. In the Mara Makomas, I tried to sort of separate into the sort of layer one and layer two. So the easier Sifim Shulchan Aruch specifically, without the Ramah, Sifim Vav Ches and Yud, are the more straightforward. Once you look, start looking at the Ramah and at the Sifim Zion and Test, things get a lot more challenging. So it's a... Sivav, Shulchan Aruch. Kol Shibishlo Yisrael Ma'at Bishulo. Ben Betchila Ben Besof Motu. You haven't seen the Besof yet, okay? Tefikach Mehiniach Akum Vaser Okidei Rogav Eish. Both examples is based on the Rambam, who is again calling the Gemara. Given both examples because Shmuel only spoke about Vaser, but the Brisa, the Tanya Mehachi are both the Vaser and the Kedera. The Jew puts it on. I'm sorry. He gives the other. First, he gives the nachash that haven't gotten to him. The Jew, non-Jew, put it on, and then the Jew stirs. Or the case we already saw. He niach Yisrael v'gamar akum erez mutter. Okay. Again, the niach Yisrael gamar akum is mutter. That doesn't shock us. You look at Sif Yud. He gives you what the Gemara's limitation on Shmuel. The Jew put the meat on coals that were very weak. It couldn't have even gotten to Malchus ben Drusa, no matter how long you would have left it. And then, that's part of the Gemara Shaka Vataria on the memory of Shmuel. It's true that once the Jew puts on Mutter, assuming that the Nachri's participation wasn't critical. Assuming that what the Jew did could alone have gotten it to Malchus ben Drusa. And then Sif Ches is Rabbi Yochanan. Nasi Yisrael Kedera Ha'esh. The Silka, the Jew put it on the fire and then took it off. And then Ba'ak and Mechzira. This Asher can you give Kamachu ben Drusai Shu Shlish Bishulo Kisha Silka. Okay. If it comes off the fire, then it's only going to be Mutter if the Yisrael already got it to Machu ben Drusai. It's a Mechaber is willing to be Mako Shlish Bishulo. But if it otherwise is us. Okay. So see if him. Vav, Ches, and Yod in the Shulchan Aruch are straightforward. However, you don't have to turn to the other Seif, Zion, and Tess to notice something's a little strange. You look at the Ramah. It's the first Ramah that we skipped. There's no Ramah in Ches or Yod. There is Ramah in Vav. Right? Mechaber said, the last line in Mechaber said Vav, Heniach Yisrael Gamar Ha'akum Reis Amut. Straightforward. Says Ramah, Afilu Lohaya Mizbashel Belo Siyu Ha'akum. The Jew put on the fire. It's mutter, even though it would not have cooked without the non-Jews involvement. Not, forget about the fact that it's against the Yud and Shulchan Aruch. That's fine. It's against the Gemara. What on earth are Ramah saying? He niach Yisrael, but below Hipach HaNachri wouldn't have cooked at all. The Gemara said that's wrong. I mean, that was beginning the Gemara. Or say Mimarashach. Either what Shmuel is saying is Pashut, or it's not true. And the Gemara said, you're right. Shmuel was saying in between. What the Gemara said, it's not true that it's Mutter if it would not have been Mizbashel without Siyu HaNachri. The Ramah appears to be ignoring the Gemara.
Can I read the Tanya Nami Hachi part, though?
What do you mean?
Because the Gemara, in the Tanya Nami Hachi part, the Gemara never gives a explanation of how much was cooking when you left to go to the marketplace or when you went to go to shul. It just says, Tanya Nami Hachi, right?
Yeah.
The Jew puts it on the basar, Meniach Basar Agabi Cholim, doesn't say it's machab in their side. It doesn't say.
You're not machab in their side. As long as it stays in the fire the whole time, doesn't get
that. And then Ubah, and he flips it, then it's okay. So it doesn't. There's no qualifications made. So why can't the Ramah be based off of that part of the Gemara? That
maybe, except that we already, you're onto something. But let me push back. We're tying Ami Hachi, we're saying the Bryce supports what Shmuel said. But the Gemara, in discussing Shmuel, said, but here's what Shmuel means. What Shmuel means is specifically a case where there was Kiruv Bishul, but of course the Gemara says, Shmuel's not talking about a case where the mice of the Yisrael alone would not have done Bishul. The Gemara, and then Gemara calmly says, presumably you mean the same way we qualified Shmuel, we're assuming that's what the Brisa means. Obviously that's what the Brisa means as well, because to say otherwise would be absurd. You're right that the Gemara never explicitly said about the Brisa. But on the other hand, it's hard to imagine that we think the Brisa is arguing what we said before, we're not saying so. Maybe. So you need to think about it. So this Ramah's the Shachvataz. In truth, it's not the Ramah's fault. The Beis Yosef points out the Rambam and the Tur seem to say this also. But the Beis Yosef points out if you read the Rambam and the Tur slowly carefully, doesn't think it's what they're actually saying. But the Ramah is explicit. Ramah is explicit. The Taz also tries to say, oh, Ramah also doesn't really mean it. The Shach, though, the Shach has a Mahalach, which we're going to have to come back to. We'll come back to that next week. But this is sort of the first chink in the armor. I said before that there are problems. This is the first problem. It seems as though the Ramah just sort of ignored the Gemara. And you're right. Just take face value, just the price alone, or just Shmuel alone for that matter, without the Shach of Vitaria, yeah. But the Gemara had Shach of Vitaria. So how's Ramah? How's Ramah ignoring that? And then, so that again, that's the first half of the sugya. First half of the sugya, the Lamed Chesed Amud Aleph.
So I'm saying, why couldn't the Tanya or Hakli be like a refutation of the explanation of Shmuel and just say, no, take Shmuel, like, just learn Shmuel.
But Tanya and Hakli means I'm bringing a riot to what we said before.
That's also not like a real thing.
No, the Bryce taught a case where it never came off the fire. The other assuming it did come off the fire. Unless you think we're rejecting that part also. No, let's put it this way. At the very least, it would be shocking if we're quoting a Bryce to argue what we said before, but we introduce it
as
the Taina Mehachi, and we don't follow up with any subsequent reason. So that's Shlav Al. And then Shlav Vet is the Amud Beit part of the Sukkah, which the Gemara opens with a Shaila. Rather than opening with a member, the Gemara opens the second section with a Shaila. Ibayilahu, the second line, Lam Chesed Beis, Hiniach Achim V'Hafach Yisrael Mahu. Gemara is explicitly now trying to pivot. Let's say the order is reversed. The Brisa and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan were all discussing a case where the Yisrael starts and the Nachri comes in. By the way, before we even go on to Shlav Bet, just to make this a little more Lamaisa, sorry, I should have mentioned this earlier before we opened Shulchan Aruch, but just to sort of wrap our arms around the cases of Amud Aleph, the simplest application of Amud Aleph is that there's never a problem with a Nachri rewarming leftovers. There's a Jew made food, and then the non-Jewish babysitter, let's say, and you have to make sure that kosher ingredients and kosher kalim and milk and flesh chicken, and making sure that they have the right framework in place, but assuming that things are being done properly, for a nachri to reheat what I already cooked is always mutter. That's as a matter of fact, even though it's two separate sessions, I cooked it yesterday and the nachri is putting it back on the fire today. But that's not only machab ben pesach, I already got it to kol bishula. I said that's pashat mutter from a bishul akum standpoint. There's no concern for shalakim. Let's put that. There's no concern for shalakim for a nachri to take already cooked food out of the fridge, last night's leftovers, and rewarm. Or even, let's say I'm gonna grill salmon, but I won't bring it to 100% because I know we're gonna make it the night before. I know we're gonna need to warm it up. So I do it 85%, and then it'll go back on the fire tomorrow to finish grilling and heat up. So for the nachri to do that second stage, hetzer gamur. In an industrial context, there's a process known as parboiling, P-A-R-B-O-I-L, to parboil. Sometimes you'll see that terminology, that rice. Rice, which was parboiled, means that they cooked it partially in a factory, and then the consumer is meant to finish the cooking. Things like minute rice are often, that means they were very partially cooked in the factory, but they left the last minute for you to do. Or frozen waffles, frozen pancakes, usually they're partially done in the factory, but not fully done, so that way when you heat it up, you're not going to overcook, you'll get it to 100%. So if the Yisrael parboiled, if it's already, that's the question. How done was it? If Yisrael already did it, past Machal Ben Drusai, and then you put it in the fridge, there's no Bishal Akam problem for the Nachri to take out of the fridge and finish it up. Okay, so that's Amidah. And again, Shulchan Aruch, Sifim Vav, Ches, and Yud seems to quote Amidah straight. The Raman, Sif Vav, seems to be ignoring the Shach Vatar in Amidah, which is, again, the price, so what's going on? Now let's take a look at the Amud Beis. So now they're going to know, well, how about if they have the reverse? The Nachri starts the process and then the Jew comes in the middle. This can come up when you have your classic Bishul Akum catastrophe. And you walk into the kitchen and maybe with the best of intentions, a Nachri or Nachris had wanted to surprise you with your favorite food for your birthday. And lo and behold, there's food on Kavanasa Mertsuya, but perhaps Maaseim Inim Mertsuya, to paraphrase the first line, the opening lines of the Kuzri. It meant well, but the problem is you might have a, do you have a Bishul Akum catastrophe on your hands? And you have to have the food, you have to have the Kalim, an issue. So the question maybe
nothing to do with you. Maybe she was cooking for herself, but you don't want to throw away your old pots. So if you could save it, as long as you can make it not a Bishul Akum, then you don't have to get rid of your pots.
Correct. So that's what we want to know now. How about the Jew, non-Jew, put on the fire, and now the Jew is gonna hop in the middle and stir. So would that save the day? Nachman Yitzchak says, "Kal v'chomer, of course. Gamar biyad akum mutar. Gamar biyad Yisrael lo kal shkein. If when the Nachri finishes off its mutter, where do you see the Nachri finishes off its mutter? That's a brow, right? And that was Shmuel. That was the Brisa. The Jew put it on. The Nachri stirs his mutter. So even that's mutter kol shkein." Where the Yisrael finished it. Kol Shkein, the Yisrael finished it. And Oasach Tei Tchilasa V'Gamar B'Yadak. The Gemara says, and that the Rabbi Bar Chana quoted from Yochanan, or Rav Acha Bar Chana quoted from Yochanan, Bein Sheniach Akum Hafach Yisrael, Bein Sheniach Yisrael Hafach Akum, Mutter, doesn't matter who went first or went second, and Oasar Shetai Tchilasa V'Gamro B'Yad Akum. The only time it was Asar is when it was Nachri from beginning to end. Okay, and that's what we saw in Sivah, right? Bein this, bein that, Mut. Anything striking is interesting about that Kal V'Chomer? Yeah, well, why is the case where the Nachri is second more of a chiddush than a case of Zohar second? Stop. Like, what? What's Kal V'Chomer? So Gemar matters. And now take it a step further.
What did the Kamash one mean on the first half? Now we're saying...
Yeah. The whole first Amud was assuming that's all about Bishol. The definition is a Bishol. Machal ben Drusai, Kiruv Bishol, one Maisa Bishol versus two Maisa Bishol is all about, like, the mechanics of Bishol. And here it's Gamar B'Yarakam Gamar, so wow. That doesn't sound like a svar that would come up in a Bishol Shabbos. You care who finishes it off. I don't know what B'chalal, what does it mean? And number two, it seems like a shift from a focus on Maisa Bishol. So B'chalal, what does it mean? Why would I even have a Hava mean that I should care who finishes it off? Have we come across anywhere else earlier in Amud Aleph a focus on the finishing or the finished product?
Yeah,
was the focus on by the time you're done, what does a finished product look like? Not only that, with Nizbashel, we had said it. Nachal Kamo Shulchai maybe is a part of the Hagdar of Bishol, right, at least to be the Ramah. But Olsho Chalachim has to do with, it's not enough that the Nachri did an act. The Bishol has to be that he produced something of significance. Something that's not just cooked, but mamish cooked to the point, cooked in a way that's even Olsho Chalachim. So the quality of the finished product matters. So l'chora, that's what we're saying here. The finished product, and after all, as Rambam had explained, right, all shofar lachim matters because that's where, without all shofar lachim, there isn't much of a concern of chasnas. The chash chasnas comes to the fact, not just that Nachri did the technical ma'aseh bishul, but he produced something of that's socially significant. He produced something of beauty, so to speak. Yeah, he produced something. Tavachashev. So that sounds like the svara that Nachmitzik is talking about. L'chora. Who finished it? Who got to the finish line? Who was Ma'aleh Shulchan Lachem? Who produced something that's taka beautiful and attractive and appetizing? Once you think about that, so I begin to understand Nachmitzik. He's saying, look, I'm an Aleph. It's true the Yisrael started it, but who stirred? And who was Makar of the Bishol? Who got it to the finish line? Who was Lamaisa, the last person involved before the finish line? The Nachri. So he said, Nachri says, it's surprising that's Mutter. I could have imagined that would be Usher. Lamaisa, the Nachri is the one who gets the assist. Lamaisa, who brought it to the... So sort of like Enai Mitzvah and Nikkers El Hashem Gomra. Who lamaisa got to shulchan lachem on Amud Aleph the Nachri, and yet it's still mutter. Taka chirish. So he says here the Nachri started, but the Yisrael got to the finish line for sure.
Why doesn't the Gemara ask a question on Rabbi Yochanan? It's a kasha Yochanan on Amud Aleph. So you have to add to Machal Ben Dersai. And on the base we're saying is that the Jew put it on. It doesn't say Jew put it on to Machal Ben Dersai, and then the guy took over. It just says the Jew put it on, and or this, they're both okay.
Yeah, okay, so
why isn't it a machlokas on how you understand Rabbi Yochanan?
Good, so let's organize our ideas. So number one, when we turn the page, we got a new svara, this focus on Gemara. So far, at least we begin to understand what, the first problem, what does it mean? Like, why does that matter at all? So the Chaorah, it's sort of reaching back to the beginning of the Sugya, reaching back to thinking from a all Shulchan Lachem perspective, that's sort of the product orientation, looking at what's being produced, the totzah. But even if you understand the basic Havachomer, the basic Svara, it's intriguing, at the very least, striking. We seem to have switched Svaras. On Aleph, it was all about Maisa Bishol. B'chol Tarkul. Bishol, the same Gidrei Bishol you would have by Bishol Shabbos. On days, all of a sudden, we're dealing with a different svar of Gemara, which seems like it has to do with uniquely specific local Bishalakim svar. So of all shochalachim chasnas. Chasnas is all about the Gemara. So that's a little bit of a mystery. Why we switch? When we switched from Amud Alf to Amud Beis, we didn't just switch from case one to case two. From Amud Alf focused on Yisrael v'achach Nachri. Amud Beis is Nachri achach Yisrael. That okay? We're talking a new case. But it's surprising that we're switching svaras. And as Eric points out, we're switching svaras, and then the Gemara wrote Rav Yochanan back in. It's not like this is a machokas. We have Yochanan and Alf, and Yochanan Beis. So this is, apparently the sugyas work together, even though they seem like they're very different perspectives. Now remember, again, this is not exactly this parallel case to Rabbi Yochanan's case. On Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan's case was the two separate sessions. Right? That's why he had said, depends who gets you to Macho Ben Josai. Whereas the case that Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak is raising in Amud Beis, it sounds like a one session, right? Just that we reversed the sequence. The Nachri puts it on, and not that the Yisrael took it off, put it back on, the Yisrael was Mahapik. It is interesting, though, to think about, and here we come to another problem. What would indeed be if that intersection, what you're talking about, the case we have in the Gemara never raised, which is the Nachri puts it on, it comes off, and then the Yisrael puts it back on, right? The parallel to Rabbi Yochanan Amud Aleph. I would have said, I don't know, I would have assumed same thing. Right? Nachri put on first. If the Nachri get to Machal Ben Rusai or not, Nachri got to Machal Ben Rusai, same as before. Before we said Yisrael got to Machal Ben Rusai, now it's Mutter. If Nachri gets to Machal Ben Rusai, it's Aser. Why was it there? You look at Siftes, though, you discover that it's Machlokas or Rishonim. It's Siftes was the case of Yochanan's case, Ramanal. If the Jew puts it on, then it comes off, and then the Jew puts it back on. Siftes is reverse. Bishlo Akum Kamakam and Yisrael Vagam Yisrael. If the Nachri puts it on and it comes off, the Jew puts it back on, that's going to be awesome. Unless it's a Tzorach Gadol. Says Ramah, V'yesh Matirin B'chol Inyan, an incredibly long list of Rishonim, V'chein Melagin. That's really shocking. The lack of some symmetry. I understand. If the Jew put it on first, and then it comes off, the non-Jew puts it back on. Then depends who gets the Machal Ben Josai. But the Ramah says, if the non-Jew put it on first, it comes off, and the Jew puts it back on. So maybe that's always Machal. Again, a lack of symmetry between the Amud Aleph cases and the Amud Beis cases. Because if the Jew was second, the Gemara, that's a mystery.
Yeah, but then also the same thing. There's always qualifications. There's a possibility, but yeah, but it's
right,
so
even
okay.
The Machabras went to make or something.
Right.
The truth
so
is because
it sounds like
Machlokas.
It's almost like the way the Machlokas Raw and the Rashba had we had 2 weeks ago.
Bingo. The Rashba is the one who thinks it's all the same. The Rush thinks it's not the same. So Eric is on something very important, right? This is once again the Rashba thinks. Bishul is Bishul is Bishul is Bishul, Bishul Akum. Everything plays by the rules, everything is smooth. And some Rishonim are going to begin to say, no. Problem is here, it's not much in the Gemara. And let me show you one more curiosity in the Gemara, one more difference in Amud Aleph and Beis, and then I'll leave you with a direction to think about. If you continue in Amud Beis, the Gemara has a discussion about Pas. So it happens to be that the Machlokas you're showing him whether the following dinim apply to Bishul as well. Take a look at what the Gemara says. Amar Ravina, the very next piece of the Gemara, there are like 10 lines down or so, and Lamed Chesed Beis, at the little letter Beis of the Mishpat Nimitz. Amar Ravina, Hilchasa, Harifted the Shagar Akav of Yisrael. You have bread, for which the Nachri had lit the fire in the oven. And then the Jew baked it. Or Shagar Yisrael Vafa Akum, or the Jew lit the fire, and the non-Jew baked the bread. Or Shagar Akum Vafa Akum. The non-Jew lit the fire, and the non-Jew put the bread in the oven. But the Jew stoked the fire while the bread was baking, shapi or dav. Then all those three are mutar. Now, the first case, where the non-Jew lit the fire and the Jew baked the bread, not surprising, that's mutar. The third case, the non-Jew lit the fire, put the bread in the oven, but the Jew comes by and stokes, also not surprising, that's like hafach bo Yisrael. The surprising case is the middle case, the second of the three cases. Shagar Yisrael v'afa akam. The non-Jew lights the fire, and then the Jew lights the fire, the non-Jew bakes the bread. Many Rishonim assume that applies to Bishul Akam as well. That's right. The Jew turns on the oven, the non-Jew can cook. And then the Rishonim have various extensions that we'll get to. Even if I fed the fire somewhat, Eish me Eish, the question is, I understand. The Jew lit the fire, and then the non-Jew put the dough in the oven. We don't mean that the dough was already in the oven, that then when the Jew lit the fire, that was the act of afiyah. We mean the Jew lit an empty oven. It was a cold, empty oven. I turn on the fire, I walk away, and then the Nachir comes by and sticks the food in the oven. I light the stove, the Nachir comes by and puts the food in the stove. Mutter. Again, Machlokes Rishonim whether this dinner pasta applies to Bishul also. We'll get to the details. But the concept, who baked it? Who cooked it? I lit the fire and then Christopher uses the fire. I lit the fire and then Christopher puts the bread in the oven. Who baked the bread? If I did that on Shabbos, Rachman Etzlan, Chaim lights, turns on the oven, and Christopher puts the dough in the oven. What malach or malachas has Chaim done? Chaim lit the fire, and then Christopher put the dough in.
Havara,
right? Chaim, Rachman Etzlan, he lit a fire. But did he do Bishul Arfiyah? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's a Bryson and Beitza. I lit the fire, but there's nothing on the fire yet. It's not my nice Bishul. It's not lit either. It's not my nice Bishul. So how do you call this Bishul Yisrael? Bishul is Pas Yisrael. So again, this is sort of like the, in a certain sense, the pinnacle of the shift from Amud Aleph to Amud Beit. Amud Aleph was all about whose Maisa Bishul was it? Anyway, we get to Amud Beis, we start handling about the Kavachomer of Gumro, as though we forget about my submission, now it's about the Gemara. And here, it's certainly not the Gemara, which is very surprising, but it's certainly not Bishul. Would the Jew participate by lighting the fire? That makes it Bishul Yisrael, Afiyah Yisrael. That's not an act of Bishul, it's not an act of Afiyah. We seem to have totally disconnected from the gang and Amud Aleph that were focused on my special. And now it's just participation. Significant participation. Gemar, lighting the fire, ma. So Eric is making an important point, which is, this sounds like Rajba Ra'ah. Amud Aleph was Rajba thinking. Amud Beis is Ra'ah thinking. Amud Aleph were focused on normal Gidrei Bishul. Amud Beis, again, once you understand the Gemar, Gemar is reflective of Ola Shulchan Lachim, which Rama had said, represented the essence of the Chashash Hasnas, they say, oh, if the Jew did the Gemara, that's certainly Mutter. And they would say, somehow, even if the Jew lit the fire, it's not Bishul, but maybe that's like Ra'alak. And the problem, of course, is to say a Machlok is Raj Ra'ah is also Machlok is 2 days in Tosfos, which we said last week, Gralim. Machlok is Ashkenazim, Svaradim, Gralim. To say Machlokas Raj Ra'ah is two different Gemaras of an Alpha and Beis, so that leaves us sort of scratching our heads. So there's a lot to explore here. Let's encapsulate. Let's sort of wrap up what the kashas, or what open kashas we're left with. We have direction for the coming week. And then I'll leave you with one final place to look. Amud Aleph The Gemara was clear that if the Amunaf was Yisrael first, on the basis is Nachri first. Amunaf, the Gemara was clear that Yisrael first is going to be Mutter. The one time the Yisrael first is Mutter is where what the Yisrael did in of itself is inadequate to accomplish a bishul. Where the Siyua Ha'akum was critical. Yet the Ramah seems to ignore that. Ramah Sivav says, if the Nachri, Yisrael put on the fire is Mutter, even if the Siyua Ha'Nachri was absolutely critical. Mash ignoring that line of the Gemara. Ramah Tamua. And all of those Akelim are all up. Again, the Sosrei raises the Kasha against Rishonim, but he had a solution which Ramah does not seem to be abiding by. Specifically, the Shach, the Taz tries to do to Ramah what the Beis Yosef did to Rishonim, but the Shach has a different approach. Shach Tasif Vav. And to appreciate the Shach, we're going to need to see some of the other mysteries also. What are the other mysteries? Another mystery was the Gemara on Amud Beis, when it shifts topic, when it shifts cases, also seems to shift svaras. It seems to shift conceptual framework. Amud Aleph, we were focused on Mais Bishul. Beis were focused on Gemar, or even more generally, Shagar Yisrael, Jewish participation. And we also saw that played out in terms of Sif Tes. The Machlokas Rashba and Rosh, which becomes Machlokas Mechaber Ramah, more or less. The Nachri put on the fire, comes off, and the Jew puts it back on the fire. There's a possibility that's not symmetrical, and the question is why. In addition to all those questions, the surprise Ramah and Sivav, and the surprising number two, the surprising shift in Svar from Amud Aleph to Amud Beis, and number three, the way in which that plays out even more with the even further shift in Svar by the Shagar Yisrael, by the case where the Jew merely lights the fire. Number four, the problem of Sif Tes seems to not be parallel to Rabbi Yochanan Amud Aleph. With all of those, all those four questions, he said the Shach and Sivav, who addresses Ramah, may be giving us a critical understanding of what's going on here. I would point you, number five, to the following. Here's Kasha number five. I asked to look at the Rambam. Look at the Rambam here. You'll notice right away that the Rambam is very brief. Now, the Rambam is usually brief because he's just quoting the Maskanas of the Gemara. He cuts out the Shach of the Torah, just gives you what emerges of all the Shach of the Torah. But the Rambam here is really brief. Really. Really. It's so brief that you wonder what... There were a lot of cases in the Gemara. Like, there's a lot to say. He shouldn't be as long as the Gemara, but there's a lot that needs to be said. So you got to look at the Rambam and figure out what he's leaving out. He's leaving out chunks of the Gemara. But he always leaves out lines. That's his job. But he seems to be very aggressively leaving things out. I think there's a very, if you look at it carefully, sort of compare the Rambam with the Gemara back and forth, I think you'll find a striking pattern. I think you'll find a striking pattern. And that may help to put the pieces together. Eric already got us started in important ways. Thinking about Amud Aleph Amud Beis or corresponding to Rashba Ra'ah. I've said that's a key beginning that needs to be worked out. That has to be more because it can't be that the Rabbi Yochanan Amud Aleph held like the Rashba, Rabbi Yochanan Amud Beis held like the Ra'ah. So something is going, there is a pattern here that needs to be further developed. I think working, now looking back at the Gemara again and then comparing it side by side with the Rambam and seeing whether Rambam quote and very, very importantly, whether Rambam will leave out, I think may be helpful. May be helpful, and then you go back to Ramah and the Shach and Sivav, and then hopefully things will begin to fall into place. So I'm glad that we had a chance to get started on the sugya, to lay out the Gemara, to sketch out some of the issues, to sketch a little bit of Halacha L'maaseh, and to sketch out a number of the kashas, four or five kashas, and our work is kedusha. Right.